All right, I'm going to be preaching about faith today. So this kind of deal with some of the issues that probably I'm not going to cover today, but they're going to be covered sometime. The important thing, though, to remember, okay, that when you know, there are some things done in the church that are pretty common in Pentecostal circles, as well as in other charismatic circles, that are really not right concerning money. And we have to remember that, because one thing is to give something to the Lord, you know, thanking Him. Another thing is to try to buy from God the things that we need. Okay. You know, you hear lots of time people, ministers saying, you know, bring $1,000 if you have cancer and you're going to be healed. And you know, and the minister, this woman came and said, I don't have $1,000, you have less. Well, you come back when you have that. This is an abomination to God. Okay? You know, if you remember, Simon the sorcerer was trying to buy the Holy Spirit from Peter. Remember the reaction of Peter. So you can't buy things from God, you receive things by faith. Now, after that, you want to do things from God. Okay? But you can't get things for the things you do. See, we don't get anything for according to our righteousness. We get things according to His righteousness and what He has done, and for us believing in Him. It is very easy to fall into legalism when we try to get things from God according to the things that we do. It's by faith alone that we are set free. This is what He wants to do. Okay? It doesn't mean that, you know, once we have received, we are grateful to God and give not just money, we give everything. Okay? Because in doing that, what we are doing is exercising our faith, and everything that we get from God is by faith. And today, I'm going to be starting to a series on faith that deals with some of these topics. Okay, the idea is this, that at the starting with, I was thinking, I'm going to make a little short thing on faith, okay, and I'm going to say, the title is going to be, you know, Faith Basics. You know the way Food Basics is? You know, I wanted to do something small. But I can't do anything that is basics. That's my problem. So, I started and I put some notes together and the thing is getting longer and longer and longer. And, I can't do anything about it. So I'm going to start today and we are going to see when it's going to be ending. Okay, but that's okay. So we start. So instead of faith basics, I really don't think that is faith basics too much. It's maybe basic faith principles. That may be a better title for this series. Okay, what we are going to look at is some of the principles that you have to apply and understand to operate in faith. I really think in faith there is a lot of confusion in this area, because it's a real spiritual thing, and it cannot be reasoned logically in some way. When we try to mix faith with our logic, we lose it. And so we have to learn not to do that. Okay? So we start from the way our faith comes. And that right there, we are going to deal with the issue that is really been pervasive in charismatic and Pentecostal circles, that actually is wrong. And we are going to deal with that at the very beginning, so that we understand some basic things about faith. Romans 10:17 says, actually there are two or three things here that just on this scripture. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now it's interesting that I don't know, probably you heard many people praise and preach about it and says, and so faith becomes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. That's nonsense. God never said that. And that actually is the way to lose faith. And we're going to see that in a moment. There are a number of scriptures that I have to bring up to show you this. But there is more. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word there is rhema. Okay. Now, that's another big problem. And this I'm just to go open up this can of worms. Because rhema is, people think that is when the word of God suddenly becomes alive in us. And we get this revelation about the word, and so we, because we got this revelation, we believe there is power in that. And this is not true. If that is true, many other scriptures are invalid. This was invented by Yang Gisho. I don't want to criticize Yang Gisho. He did lots of good things. But this teaching is wrong. And by the end of today, you're going to know that this teaching is wrong because of what the scripture says, not because of what Yeshua said or what I say. Okay? What God said. Okay, let's take one piece at a time. Okay, first of all, says that faith cometh by hearing the word. So the source of faith is in the word. You had to hear it. That doesn't mean just hear. You can hear it by reading it or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. You know, you are exposed to the word. And then says hearing by the word of God. All right. So when you are saved, how did it happen? You got a special revelation. You got, you know, what you do with somebody, you heard the message, you read the message, or whatever it is, and then you responded to the message that you got. Wasn't specifically because of some special revelation that you got. You felt inside yourself that was the truth, and you responded to it, you accepted it, and without, sometimes with feelings, sometimes without any feeling whatsoever, the biggest miracle that can ever happen to anybody, bigger than any healing, bigger than any other things that can happen, happened to you, and you became a born-again believer with a spirit alive that before was dead. That's the greatest things that can happen to anybody. Would you agree with that? It doesn't depend on the feelings, doesn't depend on anything else, depends on the decision that you open up to the word of God. You listen to it, you accepted it, and you say, I'm believing it, and that was it.
Amen.
You know, the way we start is the way we operate in the kingdom. That's the way you get in the kingdom, and that's the way you have to operate in the kingdom, by believing what the word of God says. Okay? Now, I haven't explained yet the rhema part, but this is going to be taking a bit of time because I had to bring to you lots of scriptures. Okay? So, we can believe that the greatest miracle often happen without necessarily anything great, you know, just simply happen because you take the word and you believed it and you accepted it. Okay? Okay. So really, is believing what the Word of God says, believing what the promises says, because it's a promise that you are going to be born again. Okay? All right. Now, let me go a moment to the story of the disciples failing to deliver the epileptic boy, which is in Matthew 17:17. So then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation," he was rebuking his disciple. Okay. "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear you? Bring him here to me." Verse 20. "And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you that you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing shall be impossible for you." Now, yeah, you know, the mustard seed is the smallest seed you can get. Okay, so he said, you know, you don't need such a great faith. You don't need anything. You just have, just as a little mustard seed. And he was upset with his disciples because they weren't able to, because they had unbelief. Simple as that. Okay. Now, there is a following scripture that generally is confused because people apply to something that is not applied to. It says, you know, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Here he's not referring to the demon, because evidently he never told the disciple to go to pray and fast. There is no evidence of that. He sent them, he took with them, they followed him, and he said, go and set the, you know, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, do everything. And he says the only way they was doing was done by the authority that he was giving them to be able to minister life and freedom to them, to the people. That was the only reason. It wasn't the fact that what he was talking about there is that the things that goes out only by prayer and fasting is unbelief. You see, unbelief doesn't happen just like that, and you don't get rid of it. You have to work through your unbelief system so that you break through from those bondages. Okay. So there's a couple of things that we clarified there, right there. Let me continue. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to men. But God is faithful." Now, this is a statement that happened different time, different places. The whole Bible is covered by that. Okay. The fact that God is faithful, that means that we can trust him. That God is faithful means that if he says something, we can count on that. Not everybody believed that. They said, but God is faithful, but he's all, you know, wake up in the morning and, you know, he decided to do it or not. He decided today is the day or not the day for you to be healed. Today is the day for you to receive or not. There is no place in the Bible in which that is said. If we receive or not receive, it has nothing to do with God if he promised to us. Because if we are in Christ, the word says that the promise of God, yea and amen, for those who are in Christ, to the glory of God. Not because God today wake up in the right side of the bed and said, yes, I'm going to heal this person or I'm going to help this other person. This is not the God that the Bible represents. He's always, otherwise he's not faithful. See, the problem is not with God. The very moment when we say he's God, We are actually limiting him to be able to do anything for us. Now, we are not much different from the Israel. And they did that. They limited the Holy One of Israel all the time. Because they, you know, after all the miracles that they did, Psalm 20, 78, you know, they went around complaining and telling God he's not going to do it for us. And God got upset with them. Now, well, even more because they died in the desert. Okay. Now, thank goodness we are in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. Okay? And things have changed with the death of Jesus and Jesus coming. Okay, so we are in different, you know, we can reason and apply the same principle that we can see in the Old Testament. You know, the only thing that we can take from the Old Testament are God's promises, because they apply to you through Jesus. Nothing else, not the rules, not the regulation, not the laws, not this other stuff. That produce bondages, read Galatians. God wants to minister to us life. That's why he sent Jesus to set us free and to break the curse of the law so that we can walk free from the curse of the law. And everything that was included into that. This is not a time in which God operates the same way as operated in the Old Testament. The angels announced that the day that Jesus was born. Good news, absolutely. Thank goodness. But you know, our mind finds so difficult to accept these principles, to accept this truth. You see, we think that if we work ourselves up believing and we pump our faith up, then we are going to be able to break through. Your faith will fail. Jesus said that to Peter. If you remember. You cannot count. You see, that's positive thinking. That's just the mental stuff. Okay? Just trying to work yourself up, you know, get to hear somebody that is pumping you up. And then, you know, at the moment you have faith, then you bang against the wall and you just lose everything. No, your faith cannot be based on yourself or you, has to be based on God. See, that's what Jesus said, have faith in God. That's what makes the difference. Because he's, see, that's how, why can you have faith in God? Because he's faithful. I mean, there is, people have problem having faith in God when God is the most faithful being in the universe. Amen. If you cannot be faithful in God, who can you be faithful in? In yourself? You know that you fail for, you know that you are ready to fall all the time. See, you have to really come to the place that you understand God the way he is. And we're going to expand on that. Because if you don't do that, you're never going to have a strong enough faith to be able to receive from him. Because of all the indoctrinations and the mental exposure of ideas that we have been, you know, exposed to. Okay? All right. So, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. I mean, just believing that. I mean, just this is. Do you need a special revelation to make a decision to believe this scripture? You know, either this scripture is true or the whole book is not true. Are you following me? See, we have to get to the place in which we believe the source of our beliefs. The Word of God is God speaking to you. Not just God using paper and ink. God speaking to us. And He says what we should believe. And it's our choice to have believe or unbelief. So if we trust God, and if we trust what He gave us, the Bible, then when we read something on the Bible, we have to believe what we read. Otherwise, we have no basis to have any faith whatsoever in anything. It's not by feeling. You know, you can get a miracle by feeling or by not feeling anything. Suddenly you realize, where is it gone? Are you following me? You cannot go, and we are going to see the scripture enforcing what I'm saying now. You cannot go by the things you feel, by the things that, your emotions. You see, your emotions is the real problem. Because they go up and down in all the ways, so that you are going to be tossed around. Instead, when you are a believer, you have to be solid on the solid rock and not be moved by the circumstances, not be moved by what's happening, not be moved by what anybody says, not be moved by what you see, not be moved by anything that happened around you. Amen. Okay? All right. You cannot be tempted, but with the temptation will also make the way to escape or escape, that you may be able to bear it. So you see, that has to be our attitude when we are going through time of temptation or trouble. In which we, essentially, temptation is nothing else. There's something that makes us doubt what the Word of God says. And when we accept the doubt, that becomes unbelief. And when we got into unbelief, the consequences of that is that we act according to our unbelief, and that means we are going to act according to what God says, and that means we are going to sin. Okay? So, our attitude, our position. Yeah, I can handle this. See, the very moment we say, I cannot handle this, we're already missing it. We have to be able, yes, I can handle that because God is faithful. You see, that's the basis on which we go, we move, we start. That's just the beginning. You see, God is not going to allow me to be tempted more than I can handle. He's going to provide the way. So we have to be open to, we may not see the way, but we have to be open to receive the way and to be able to jump into it. Okay? All right. In 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 3 says, but the Lord is faithful, again. He will establish you and guard you from the evil one. You know, we often believe more in the word of the devil than the word of God. You know, do you ever hear somebody says, I'm walking divine health. Oh, don't say that. You know, the devil will hear you. Hello. We shall boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He is bigger. He is better. And He protects us. He guards us from the evil one. We just finished reading it. Do we believe that? See, we have to, if we don't believe that, we are open to destruction. We are open to attack. That has to be so strongly established in us that even when things don't go the way they we like to them to go, we are stable and grounded on the word and on the truth. And the truth is, God is bigger, God will take care of us, God, I can trust him, and he is going to be looking after me. So that there is no fear. You see, what the problem is not even unbelief. The problem is fear. We are afraid. And because we are afraid, see, that's an emotional thing. Because we are afraid, then we open ourselves up to things to happen. Remember Job? See, when we know the love of God, love overcomes fear. So we have to get to the place in we know God well enough that we trust him so that we can trust him. Faith is nothing else than trusting God. Period. It's not a feeling. It's nothing else. God said it. I believe it. And that settled it. If the question if we try to pump ourselves up, then it's an emotional or a mental thing. It's when we stand on the word of God. Have faith in God, not in your faith. I know the Canadian said, you know, have faith in your faith, but that's wrong. Okay. He said lots of good things, but that was not right. Okay. Don't chase after faith. Trust God and walk with him. And be confident that he is going to take care of you. That all the curses of the law are broken. Believe that. See, people still believe in the, you know, generational curses, which is really complete nonsense because it also was abolished even in the Old Testament. But do you believe that Jesus became a curse for you? That's what the Bible says. If he became a curse for you, how can you be cursed? All right. So, you know, going back to the Rhema component that we started with, you know, really people want to have a feeling or a subjective things as the basis of their experience. They want God to speak to them about if they want healing, you know, and want somebody, a voice, to hear a voice and say, no, I'm going to heal you. Or they want to see a vision or stuff like that. God never promised that. But he did much more than that. He gave us his word. You see, the Bible is enough. You have to believe the Bible, not a subjective experience. A subjective experience is just maybe true, maybe not true. You may have a dream, or maybe God gave the dream, or maybe it was the pizza last night. Okay? You cannot go by that. You know, we want God to speak us personally, even audibly, in a subjective way, to believe what God wants to do with us. And this is what the Rhema component became, because, you know, the Rhema, you know, essentially what that was interpreted is the spoken word. Really, you know, it's not true. You just check the concordance, strong list of the numbers, and you see that that's not the meaning. Well, the way to understand Rhema is to actually go to the scriptures and see the way it's used in the scriptures. And that's what we're going to do today. Okay. we had trouble believing, you know, that God was going to give us triumph the way Brother prophesies today. God desire. John 10:10. He came that we may have life more abundantly, and the thieves come to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus came to break that. Okay? Now, the key thing is here. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. We're getting there. I think we're going to be able to make it. Says verse 1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seems to have come short of it. You see, the promise is for us to come into the rest. When we come into the rest, it's because we have faith. You are in the position to receive. The thing is, it's not guaranteed. It has to do with us. The same way it had to do with Israel. Okay? Now, let's continue here. Let us fear lest any of you seems to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. See, it's the parallel between us and them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Now, the word there is not Rhema, it's Logos. So, what's the problem? The Logos has to be mixed with faith to be able to be effective. When you do that, the Logos becomes Rhema. Okay? That's when you act on the word. You receive the word, you act on the word, and when you act on the word, the Logos becomes Rhema. No, when you have a certain feeling, is when you make the decision and take action about it that it produces the results. That's what happens when you were born again. Okay. Not be mixed with faith in those who heard it. So instead of mixing the word with faith, you know, we often wait on God to see when he's going to do it. You see how unscriptural the whole thing is that is generally done by just about everybody. We wait on God because we think that waiting on God is the religious thing to do. When instead the religious thing to do, the proper thing to do is to believe God and act on the word. You don't need to wait. You need to act. All right. Now you have to have some wisdom sometime about acting. Now let's see some other reinforcing this, what I'm saying to you. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. The prophetic word is really referring to all the Bible. And the prophetic word, the word there is Logos, not Rhema. I mean, the prophetic word is the prophetic spoken by God speaking. Should be Rhema there. It's not. It's Logos. Okay? Confirm, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in dark places. Until the day the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart, knowing first that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not subjective. It's not the way you interpret it. God spoke it, and it's the logo, it's the thought, it's the idea that God communicated to us, and that's where the power is. It's not in the feeling. And you release that power by accepting it and acting on it. Are you following me?
Yes.
Believe and obey the Logos, and it becomes Rhema. Now, You see, the Bible, you have to understand the thing. The Bible is God speaking to you. Period. You take it personally. Now, let's go to Jesus. You know, temptations, I brought temptation before, you know, it's an important component of dealing with the things inside us. God doesn't tempt us, but we are tempted because of our weaknesses. The devil takes advantage, he wants to kill us, he wants to destroy us, he's a stinker. And he's there to take advantage of anything he can to kill us. But he can't. Because God, as we read before, protects us. Okay? So that gives us some stability when we go through troubled time. All right? Well, let me say something else. Okay, here. You know, Jesus was tempted just as a way as we were tempted in all ways. And really, if you see Jesus' temptation, we can actually see the full confirmation of what I'm saying to you now. If you go to Matthew 4:4, says, you know, when the devil came to him to try to get him to make stones bread, okay? And Jesus said something there. He said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live of bread alone, but with every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. The word there is Rima. Huh? Why Rima now? Because when you live according to the word, that means you're acting on it. It's not the theory, it's not the idea, it's the action that is coming from you that makes a rhema. Do you see the impact there? You know, Samara said something is interesting, you know. He said to somebody, do you want to know the will of God? Read the Bible. You don't know, then go around, you know, so what's the will of God? Just read the Bible. It's just as simple as that. That's where the will of God is. And then he said to this person, do you want to do the will of God? Do the Bible. I mean, it's all right there. We try to see things, figure out things, when instead it's right in front of our nose. If instead of trying to figure out things, we allow the word of God to minister to us, we are going to know everything we need. He's going to feed us. You see, doesn't leave a bread alone. This is the basic bread that we should eat on. You know, you don't live by watching TV. You'll die by that, likely. You live by reading the word. Okay. So, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, that goes together with James 1:22. You remember what it says? Be doer of the words, not hearers only. Okay? Not to be deceived. You see, the bottom line is, and the word there is logos. You don't wait. You see, to go and do the things that God wants you to do, you don't have to wait for a special revelation and that God speaks to you. You just have to read the Bible and do what it says. Otherwise, God didn't tell me to do that. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You see how insane that kind of a reasoning is? See, what the implication of that is, according to James 1:22, is that you are going to fool yourself. Actually, you are going to deceive yourself. You are going to lose faith by actually doing, you know, waiting for some bad thing to happen, that God speaks to you supernaturally. Oh, God told me this. I don't care. is in the Bible. Do you get it? Okay, good. That's important. That's important. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Be a doer. It's hearing and doing, not hearing and hearing. You remember where we started? You hear and hear and hear and hear. That's a way to deceive yourself, because you are there not being a doer, and then you are deceived. Because you think you have faith, but you have no faith whatsoever, because the only way you're going to get faith is when you release it by doing something. Now, you have to have the wisdom to know the thing to do in some cases, because it's not always easy. And this is why, you know, what often the problem we do is we try to follow our logic. And try to, okay, God has to do this, so I have to do this. No, no, wait a minute. Okay, let God be God and do it His way. Don't get in the way of God, because you cannot understand a miracle if you need one. The miracle is going to happen, and you ask, how did it happen? I don't know. It happened, though. See, you cannot figure it out, because it's not logical. Are you still here? Good. Okay, well, we reached the time. You got anything today? Okay. Okay, well, this is just the beginning. See, there are some things that Israel made some serious mistakes when they were in the desert. I'm going to give you just a short introduction over next week. You know, people talk about, oh, where are you? I'm in the wilderness. You ever heard that? Well, was God's plan for Israel to be in the wilderness? That was their stupidity that put them in the wilderness. But there is a lot of teaching in Christian circle that says, you know, that it's normal to be in the wilderness. If we follow God, we shouldn't be in the wilderness. And when we are in the wilderness, we have to try to get out of there as quickly as possible, because that destroys our faith. See, Israel were in the wilderness and died in the desert without getting into the promised land. God wanted them to come into the promised land. That was God's plan. Their plan, they messed up God's plan. God is not controlling you and allowing you to do the mess up that you want to do, if you want. Give enough rope for you to hang yourself. All right, we're going to talk about wilderness next week. We should pray. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we know that your word is true, that we can trust you, that you are worthy of our praises, that you have done everything that you could do to help us and to quicken us and to set us free and to break the curse of the law and to do everything that was needed for us to walk from freedom and victory all the time, the way Jesus did. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we can put our trust in you and we can receive from you. Not sometime in the future, but the moment in which we read the word, because faith comes when we hear the word and we take action. And so we just thank you and praise you that you have provided the means for us to overcome, to have victory, to destroy the works of the devil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.